Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 726. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Day spring from on high be near, day star in my heart appear. 726.
Together from God's holy word, book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, "The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massa, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar, in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness. For they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there, in a portion of the lawgiver, was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord, and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour, and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us, and help us in prayer. Most kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, once more we're favoured to gather round thy word. And O Lord, we pray that it may not just be another round of service, but that there may be thy gracious presence known and felt, that thou would bless us indeed, and do us good, and send us away with our hearts burning, our hearts touched. Lord, we dread the formality of coming and going into thy house, Lord's Day after Lord's Day. Oh Lord, we pray that thou make thy word powerful and effectual, that in our gatherings this day there may be those things done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And oh, may there be those who have come up to thy house this evening with that desire, so we would see Jesus.
the Lord, wilt thou not answer those cries, those prayers, those desires, a sweet revelation to hear thy voice, to feel thy touch, to see thee by faith. Oh Lord, we come with that desire to worship, and oh, that we may be found taking home a portion. Oh, that thou'd open the windows of heaven and shower down blessings, that there may not be room enough to receive it. The Lord, thou didst say, prove me now herewith. Lord, and we plead thy gracious promises. It's all in thy kind and gracious hand. And Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst send us home full, and even with our cups overflowing. May it please thee, dear Lord, we know we're not worthy. Lord, we never have been and never will be worthy of the least of thy mercies. But thou knowest, Lord, that we ask for Jesus' sake. Dear Heavenly Father, thou art well pleased with thy beloved Son. And so we come and we plead his merits. We plead his name. We seek to find acceptance in him. And oh, we do thank thee, dear Lord Jesus, that thou art on the throne, sitting at the Father's right hand. And oh, Lord Jesus, do come and take our cases, our concerns, our needs, our desires, and make them thy cause. Make them thy own. Present them at thy Father's throne. And thou wilt obtain mercy on our behalf, and blessing, even life forevermore. We plead then that thou grant eternal life to each and every soul here. We would remember those that are unable to be here. We would go further, dear Lord, and pray for those that are not here and do not want to be here. For thou art a merciful and gracious God, and that thou touch even their hearts, and that thou art, Lord, get all the honour and the glory. We would remember those, Lord, that are not here this evening. Various reasons, Lord, thou knowest. Do be with them where they are and bless them indeed. May their hearts be touched, for thou art not bound by walls. And the aged friend unable to be out, be with her and bless her. And bless each of us, Lord, if it could please thee. And that, Lord, as we leave this house this day, we may know thy presence with us now and in our days to come. All the untrodden steps of our lives, however long or short, but oh, to feel thee daily with us. Then do cause us to lean upon thee. Keep us from trusting our own strength, our own wisdom. Lord, make us cast all our care upon thee. There are friends, Lord, no doubt here this evening with cares and concerns, in providence and in grace. May there be that true casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. O Lord, we need that grace that I'll do send grace into each heart, and send enabling grace, Lord, that our lips may be touched, our tongues may be loosed, and that having received of thy kind and gracious hands, there is that desire to make mention of the loving kindnesses of the Lord. For Lord, if thou hast touched our hearts with love divine, surely the very stones would cry out if we kept silence. Then, Lord, do send forth that sweet love into each soul, that love that constrains and compels. And Lord, may the love of Christ be shed abroad in each heart. And as we seek to gather round thy table at the close of this service, may we have our hearts touched with that dying love. And Lord, may our hearts be softened. And may we be sweetly drawn into thy sufferings and in all the horrors of it find peace, that peace which passeth all understanding. And then leave us not, neither forsake us. Dear Lord, we're coming to the end of another year. Time is fast hastening by. O Lord, we pray that our evidences may be confirmed, that we may have those sweet tokens that we are indeed numbered amongst thy children. And Lord, as we journey to that day when we must part from all here below, to have those tokens to look to, to look back upon, seeing all the way the Lord our God has led us. And do strengthen us, Lord, as we each may, or each must pass through Jordan. And Lord, may it be each of us sacred privilege to see thee going on before. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. So to take away all our doubts and our fears. Take away any props that we're resting on that are not of thee. We pray, Lord, that we may each be found building on that one true foundation. And strip us of anything short of Christ. And give us that real religion. May we have real things in our hearts. Oh Lord, do send thy word into our hearts. They may find that abiding place. They may be treasured up in our hearts. And do build us up on our most holy faith. And forgive our many, many sins. We are poor sinners. We confess our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. And Lord, help us each to come just as we are, seeking all that we need in thee. We pray, Lord, that thou be with each of the friends in all their situations, all that lies before them. Sanctify and use the things they're in for their real good. Help those, Lord, with mountains before them, crooked places, rough places. Be with any, Lord, feeling cast down, disappointed or lonely. Be with tempted, burdened souls. Lord, I know it's each case. May each case be met this day. And thou said, I will make all my mountains away. And then touch the mountains that they may smoke, that there may be a flowing down at thy presence. And lead us on to that rest that remains for the people of God. Lord, may each one of us be found in heaven at last. So do wash us in thy most precious blood. Lead each soul to that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And wash us and quicken us and put us in that right spirit, we pray. And drive Satan out from our hearts. Keep us by thy grace as we pray for pardon of every sin for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace. What glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033.
Will you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 33? With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the opening part of the 27th verse. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This morning I try to speak a little on the first part, the eternal God is thy refuge. This evening, with the Lord's help, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The first part is a wonderful, a sacred and exceeding precious promise. And there's more. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And so those souls that are brought to see a need of a Saviour by the Holy Spirit's power and work, and are found fleeing for refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ as their only hope, and obtaining mercy, they enter into that refuge, which is an eternal and an everlasting refuge. But they're granted this. There's everlasting arms underneath them. And you know, if you're given something precious, exceeding precious to carry, how would you carry it? Would you just pick it up from the top? Would you just grab it round the side? Or would you have your arms underneath? You know, if you don't want to drop something, if you taking the utmost care over something, in carrying something, it's with arms underneath. Arms underneath. And his people, oh, their souls are precious in his sight. Oh, he loves them with an everlasting love, and he will not drop them. He cannot, but he will not. Their everlasting safety is in his hands. Without him, they will perish. Without him, oh, they'll never reach heaven at last. And he knows it. He knows their weaknesses. He knows their failings. He knows their faults. And he's promised to carry them. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, you know, we don't always, those of you who know and fear the Lord, you don't always know they're there, these everlasting arms. You know, at times in your life, things are going easily, nicely with you. But they're still there. They're underneath still. And though you might not feel the very presence of them, they're certainly there. He cannot remove them. Though you may not feel the need of them, he sees that you need them there. You know, you don't know what's tomorrow. You may have got through last week reasonably well, but you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what's in store for your little life, and neither do I for mine. But underneath, oh, what a mercy if you're persuaded of it this evening, underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, it's a sacred privilege of the child of God. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord? Well, who is favoured above these that have the eternal God for their refuge? And underneath are the everlasting, the eternal arms. Oh, what care! What love, what wisdom. Because, you know, we're not minded like him. Oh, our thoughts are so inferior. Our thoughts are so wrong, often. But his wisdom is such that underneath all his dear children are these everlasting arms. And you know, friends, they're there for a reason. Because whether you're at this place now or whether you have yet to be there, there will be those times, there must be those times in your little life, if you're one of his dear children, that you'll have to prove it. You won't just be taught it in the letter of it. You won't just be this evening. Well, I know, the minister read it, underneath of the everlasting arms, you'll be brought, you must be brought to feel them at times, to sink into them at times, to be brought to fall into those everlasting arms. And you know, we have to go a little lower sometimes than where we are at present. You know, the Lord will touch you, maybe in affliction. And maybe you've enjoyed good health and the Lord touches you and you're brought low. And not only bodily, but then maybe spiritually brought low. Why has the Lord permitted this? How can this be needful for me? How is this right for me? Is this necessary for me? And then Satan comes in and you go a little lower. And he questions you whether you're right, whether you're really a child of God. Oh, but to then feel, oh, when you get to the very bottom, when you feel at the ends of the earth, oh, there's that everlasting arms underneath. Oh, there's a glimmer of hope from the gospel. The Lord sends a ray of light shining from his word. You trace out in the word of God the Lord's dealings with the children of Israel or maybe with one of his dear saints, and you look and by the Spirit's leading you see it revealed to you that this is right, this is the way. It is through much tribulation. There's love in this affliction. There's love written over the bed. His banner over me is love. It's not wrath, though I deserve it. Oh, it's love. And it's kindness. And it's tender mercies. And he's bringing me into his word. I can now put my T and P next to it. Tried and proved. They are everlasting arms. And they're mighty. And they didn't let me go. And though the affliction or the cross or the loss was grievous, and though it broke me, yet it didn't send me to utter despair. Oh, I sank low. I was brought low. But he sustained me. He held me fast. Oh, that unseen hand. Felt to be sinking, made to cry out, Lord, save me, like Peter on that lake. Oh, the waves and the billows, the waves are rising, and you're looking around at the storm, and you take your eyes off the Saviour, and you begin to sing, and out from your lips, Lord, save me. And he reached out his hand, and he caught him. Oh, that everlasting hand. Those everlasting arms. Beloved friends, that stop the Lord's dear children from sinking into utter despair. For that's what Satan would have them do. He'd heap on them more and more, more and more. Seek to prize from them every precious promise out of the word of God. Call into question every blessing they've received. And you know, He can prize some of you. I know he can. You know, he stripped a few from me once. And I had one left. You know what it was? Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. My first sweet promise on the Lord, and all I had left. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. And I pleaded the Lord he'd take my life from me before Satan took that promise. I felt I couldn't go on. But you know there's everlasting arms underneath his dear children. And you may be brought to some solemn places where left to yourself you do some solemn things. Oh, but there's everlasting arms. And Satan, the mighty foe, who would devour whom he may, but there's everlasting arms bearing them up. Oh, they can't sink utterly. They will stumble. There will be the fall, the trip, the slip. And it's to stain the pride, and it's to keep the sinner low, and it's to teach him, and it's to increase his faith and his trust in this everlasting God, whose everlasting refuge and everlasting arms, oh, they must be tried and proved in this timed state. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And you know, David, brought low by his own actions, through Satan, the power of Satan on that dear man of God, a man after mine own heart. Solemn when you read that account. Beloved friends, if any man think he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Read the word of God. Oh, those of you, I hope there's none of you here this evening who look at David and say, I wouldn't do that. You'd never find me falling into that sin. Beloved friends, you've a heart, a sinful heart. And if you haven't, it's there but for the grace of God. And what maketh thee to differ? But you know, dear David, oh, that man of God, he brought low in that hour of temptation. There Satan held him for a good number of weeks and months, you know, scheming after scheming, one sin covering up another sin, deeper and deeper falling. You say, is this the man of God? Is this David who went forth to fight Goliath? Is this the sweet psalmist David, fallen so low? Is this the real man? And here, you know, he has no, oh, there's not a shred of, or a trace of, or in those months of a child of God. You know, his eyes are fixed and blinded by the power of Satan. And one sin after another, and there's nothing to hold him. There's nothing to stop him. And he's just doing everything that Satan bids. Oh, what a solemn state. He's blinded to it. Can't see what he's doing. He's been possessed, you'd say. If you'd met the David, you'd say you're possessed. Look at you. How far you've fallen. Arranging the death of Bathsheba's husband. Sin after sin. Leading to more sin. Oh, but there's everlasting arms. Thus far and no further, Satan. Now there's a halting. There's a restraining of the power of Satan. And the Lord, he reaches out. Reaches out to that dear man. And he touches him. Nathan the prophet, sent by God, the word enters in, and the word hits him as an arrow in his heart. And those arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies, whereby they fall under them. Thou art the man, down he falls, but not into the pit of corruption, not into hell. Down at the feet of the Lord, down on his knees in prayer. Psalm 51. Oh, the outpouring of that dear man of God in Psalm 51. And what was it? It was prayer from a man who had fallen into the everlasting arms of his Maker. And he was pleading, "Have mercy upon me, O God." What a psalm. What words are in there? You know, friends, the breathings of his soul. He's a living soul. And he feels to be on the verge of death, eternal death. But he's in the everlasting arms. And how do we know he's in the everlasting arms? Because he knows mercy is to be found. He's resting. He's got nothing of himself to rest in. He can't point back to defeating Goliath. It means nothing. He needs mercy. He can't point to anything he's done. He can't point to one of the other psalms he's written. He needs mercy. And mercy he must find. And mercy he sees in his God. He's resting in an eternal, everlasting covenant. And it's that covenant that he died resting in. Resting in those everlasting arms. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. There's a man in the everlasting arms of his Saviour. Oh, and he's in all the depths of it, the guilt of it, this exceeding sinfulness of it, the iniquity of it. He's a broken-hearted sinner. He's a humble and a contrite spirit. But he knows, O God, thou wilt not despise. And he's safe, beloved friends. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Yeah, he's never fallen out. He's just been brought into them again. Underneath, they were always under him. They were under him when he was committing that very act of adultery. The underneath are the everlasting arms. But he had no sight of them. He felt no need of them. And he had no inclination toward them at all. Oh, but they were there. They were there. An everlasting love. You know, friends, it doesn't ebb and flow. It's a continuous flowing stream. It doesn't begin at the request of a sinner pleading, "God, be merciful to me." It's been flowing from eternity past, and it will flow as an unrelenting stream. And those everlasting arms are exactly the same. They're there from eternity past. That soul, precious in his sight, before the foundation of the world, and those everlasting arms never move from under that soul. Never will. Never will. Safe into heaven they must go. Trophies of his grace, testimony to those everlasting arms. And David is in heaven this evening, as a trophy of the grace of God, as a jewel in his crown, as a witness to those everlasting arms. What a witness. What a showcase. Do I need to point to any more this evening? What a showcase to the mercy of God, the power of God, who can lift a sinner from the very depths of temptation and sin and guilt and wretchedness, and who can shine into such a dark soul, because his soul must have felt like Peter's, the night in which Peter denied his Lord. You know, he must have been low, at a very low place. You know, when a child of God is left to himself and sins and transgresses. You know, it's a bitter, bitter thing. I think we sung it in one of the verses this morning. You know, they grieve. It's not the horrors of hell. It's not the fear of hell. What is it? The fear of hell has done its work, but now for the child of God, what is it that breaks his heart? It's grieving the Lord. It's adding more sin to that mountain. It's laying more stripes on him. Oh, they have to own more of the pain at Calvary, more of the sufferings at Gethsemane. Because of that sin, they've now been brought into a knowledge of the Lord has blotted it out. The Lord has borne it. The Lord carried it all away as that scapegoat. Oh, but they didn't know it then. And now they've been brought into it. They see it. And it breaks their heart. How could I? How could I do this? How could I treat him in such a despicable way? And how, you know, in the depths of it, who can pick up a soul from there? Peter went out and he wept. There were everlasting arms underneath him that night, you know. And the Lord Jesus knew he'd need them. He knew. He knew Peter. He told him, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. He knew. Peter didn't. Peter's proud heart, never. I'll never deny thee. I'll die with thee, for thee. Where was he? Denying his Lord with oaths and curses. Say, is this Peter? Is this Peter? Who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God? Is it? Oh, but then underneath, oh, the Lord had a hold on him. The Lord had those everlasting arms under him. He looked at him, though. What a look. Jesus turned and looked at him. When that cock crew. What a look. You know, friends, if you sin and fall and transgress, the Lord looks on you with that knowing look. Oh, that'll break your heart. And, you know, Judas went out and hung himself. There's no everlasting arms underneath him. None whatsoever. The son of perdition. The enemy of God. The son of Satan. And there, Peter, broken hearted. You know, this is a man, a fisherman, not given over to crying, and he's broken. Broken hearted. Oh, but he's those everlasting arms. And he's brought back. Thou knowest the way to bring me back. My fallen spirit to restore. This everlasting arms that leads the child of God back. Oh, out in the wilderness, wretched, polluted, vile and tempted. Feeling cast off and forsaken. Who could pick me up? The Lord God. With those everlasting arms underneath his dear children, he lifts them up, brings them up, lifts them above the inferior things, leads them by his kind and gracious hands, leads them forth into the blessings of the gospel. And these everlasting arms, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to old age, I am he, and even two hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Oh, that sweet and sacred promise. The everlasting arms then. In the hour of temptation, In the hour when temptation becomes sin. In the bringing back to the feet of Jesus as a sinner, repentant, confessing. In the carrying, in the bearing, in the sustaining through. In all the untrodden steps of the lives of his dear children. He brings them back to that refuge. You see, there's everlasting arms here. In all your going out and your coming in, as a flock, in and out, finding pasture, there's everlasting arms. And he leads his people, and he guides his people, but he carries his people. Oh, and when they're left and they wander off from the flock as sheep do, when they get themselves into all sorts of trouble as sheep do, and he picks them up and he carries them in his arms, everlasting arms, and he brings them back into that fold. And that's it, you see. The eternal God is thy refuge. And you've wandered off. You sought refuge somewhere else for a few moments. You've turned your back on that refuge. Then you turned your back on that rest that remains for the people of God. And you've delighted yourself a little in sin. And the pleasures of the world. And the attractions and the allurements. Ah, oh, but there's everlasting arms. And it's thus far and no further. And the wanderer's brought back. And the prodigal's lifted up. And it's thus far no further, and he's brought into want, and he's carried back in these everlasting arms back to that eternal refuge. Oh, he's never been out of the safety of it, but in his affections, in his feelings, he's been outside of it. Never been out of the covenant of grace, never fallen out of that covenant. His eternal safety and security has never been in doubt, not a hint of it. But he hasn't felt that way. Oh, he's felt the opposite of it. He thinks he's done everything to warrant being thrown out at last. Feels to have proved himself to be one of those that has mistakenly ventured to be cut off at last, never having on a wedding garment, thrown out of the marriage supper in his feelings and his experiences. Oh, but those everlasting arms in his feelings, they pick him up. And they give him a loving caress. Then there's no harshness. And there's that bringing back. And it's a father smiling as he returns, not frowning, not upbraiding. Ah, oh, there's a smiling father. I have found my son that was lost. You want to come back as a servant, but it's a son, and once a son, always a son. Everlasting arms, bringing you back and entering again. And I say into the feeling of it, because you've never left it, but in your feeling, oh, that eternal refuge. Feeling the blessings of the flock of Christ, the feeding, the leading, the hearing of the shepherd's voice. Oh, why did I leave? Why did I venture off? Why did I wander? Oh, all the blessings are here, all the privileges, all the glories. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and they're bearing you up, and they're carrying you through, and it's all the days of your life. So from hoar hairs will I carry you. It's to the very day of your death. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And then there's this. You see, he redeemed them. He brought them into that eternal refuge. And he bare them up in his arms, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name. Oh, this mighty hand. He saved them with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand. And he leads his people, but he carries them. Oh, and, dear friends, this evening, you know, have you felt the everlasting arms? You look at, analyse your little life. Can you, from an honest heart, say, I have felt at times in my little life, oh, I've been brought to fall into them. Maybe in after temptation, falling into the arms of mercy. Mercy spread underneath its everlasting arms. And maybe it's in fears and in doubts. Maybe it's that as you've looked and contemplated eternity. Oh, and you've had to fall by faith with your soul into his arms. You've had to cast it into his arms. You can't contemplate it. It's such a great thing, you can't even fathom it. Oh, but you've fallen in with that word. Oh, Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. I can't manage on my own. Or like the hymn writer, he says, thrice comfortable hope that calms my stormy breast. My Father's hand prepares a cup, and what he wills is best. My fearful heart he reads, secures my soul from harms, while underneath his mercy spreads its everlasting arms. Oh, you've fallen into them, have you, dear friend, this evening? You've fallen in as a poor, needy sinner. You can't manage yourself. You can't cope yourself. You can't do anything yourself. Oh, but there's a... You see in his word, you hear in his word, that there's hope for poor, needy sinners. And you've had to rest in that. That's it this evening. You've rested on the everlasting arms of the hope of the gospel of the glory of God. Oh, they're the everlasting arms you've sunk into this evening. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You sank into the arms of Jesus. What he has done. What he's done for his people. You've had to lay it in there. You say, well, I haven't felt him a reply in any way. I've ventured by faith, been prayer, and I've laid my soul at his feet. I've cast it into his hands, and I'm waiting for that sweet consolation, the sweet confirmation, that I am loved with an everlasting love. Oh, but I know where my hope is. I know where it isn't this evening. It's not in myself anymore. It's not in my natural arm. It's not about me. It's not in what I'm going to do for salvation. It's not what I'm going to plead at that great day. I know where my hope isn't this evening. There's no hope in self. There's no help in self. No, I'm looking to him. I'm looking to these everlasting arms. Oh, I'm looking to cast it in there. I'm looking as a poor, needy sinner. Like that woman at the feet of Jesus. What is she? She was a sinner, wasn't she? And like you and like me, she said, and behold, a woman in a city which was a sinner, which when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with his tears. Have you been there? You know, you can't approach his face, but you come behind. Like that woman touched the hem of his garment. Oh, I can't. I'm not worthy to approach him, but I must have him. And she ventured, didn't she? And she touched the hem of his garment. Well, this woman, you know, she didn't ask permission. She came. She moved with need, moved with love. There was one thing needful in her life. One thing needful. There's the evidence of it. Her actions are the evidence of the grace of God in her heart. One thing was needful. And she possessed faith in Christ Jesus. Plenty of other people there to wash their feet. Ah, but this man, what a difference. Must have this man, must be him. Jesus only. She stood at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and he wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And there was plenty of people that evening who knew who she was. And Simon the Pharisee, all mocking. And if they weren't doing it outwardly, they were doing it inwardly. This woman, look at her. But there were everlasting arms underneath her. Oh, the fear of man couldn't detail her, couldn't prevent her. Oh, there was everlasting arms. And what would he say? Well, you know what he said. He gave Simon the Pharisee that lesson. And then he turned to the woman, and he said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. The difference between Simon, the Pharisee, and her. There were everlasting arms under her. Oh, what a difference it made to her. Though she was a sinner and a great one, yet she's loved with an everlasting love. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Oh, this eternal refuge. Thy sins are forgiven. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful witness of the everlasting arms of an almighty God. Plucking a sinner from the world. A sinner that from all eternity past, chosen yet left to wander off so far into the world. He plucked me as a brand from hell. My Jesus has done all things well. She could sing for him 410. He plucked me as a brand from hell. My Jesus has done all things well. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And beloved friends, they're underneath, and you won't slip through them. You can't fall between them. They're in their right place, they're underneath. And you know, you and I are founded on that rock, if we're hearers of the word of God and doers of the word of God, we're like that man who built his house upon the rock. And we must and shall endure to the end. But be careful how we build. You know, we must not build with things between. You know, even if it's just the thinnest layer of silt between that building and that foundation, when the storm and the stream beats vehemently on that house and the flood comes, it will wash the silt out from under that house and down it will come. Oh, to be found then, standing on the rock. And have those evidences that we are standing on the rock. And we don't pray for trouble. And we don't pray for difficulty. Or tribulation must come. Oh, but to have it sanctified. To have that persuasion. I'm founded on that rock. You may shake on the rock, but the rock won't be shaking. It'll be you shaking. Oh, to be planted on the rock, that the rock, Christ Jesus, to have your hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, and then to feel the everlasting arms, because it's more than just a building and a foundation. Is a living foundation. And not only does his people rest in him, but he holds them. You know, he has a hold on his people. He holds them fast. And so, although they may feel to be buffeted and every storm and tempest hit them, yet he's held them fast. An almighty hand. A mighty arm, all-powerful, almighty, and none will be confounded that wait upon him. None will be ashamed that wait upon him. The word of the Lord endureth forever. The covenant of grace endureth forever. The foundation of God endureth forever. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and in his mercy and his grace and his favour he makes known to his that they are his. And he brings them into a feeling at times of these everlasting arms. Oh, may you and I be found partakers, found resting in them. For when we shut our eyes on this life, that'll be our only resting place, to carry us through the River Jordan. Oh, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. I will certainly be with thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, I believe the hymn writer, and I'll close with this, he so beautifully sums up the emphasis from the word of God. Where in the word of God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, he sums it up. The emphasis, there's a strong emphasis apparently in the original language, and it's this: the soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavour to shake, and this is it, I'll never forsake. He will not forsake them. He cannot forsake them. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Amen.
Last Lord's Day amounted to £750, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, after which there'll be a collection for the TBS. And Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation next Lord's Day at 9 o'clock. There will also be a church prayer meeting on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 514. Oh, what matchless condescension the eternal God displays, claiming our supreme attention to his boundless works and ways. His own glory he reveals in gospel days. 514.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.